Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And Tom, of course, recently retired. Even though you're working more than you ever seemed to work before. Tom wrote for the Associated Press for decades and is one of the phenomenal reporters our city has had. And it's good to have you working with us.
Way too nice of you. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you working with us here from time to time at The Fan.
Great to be here.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
How's this radio thing doing for you? You enjoy it? It's a little different.
I do. It is different. Fortunately, I'm surrounded by professionals who are guiding me through my...
Those guys are in the morning and afternoon shows. I don't know what you're talking about.
You guys are both good at what you do.
Shaking his head.
And those in Meredith and those in the back are also great at what they do. It's been interesting. I think I mentioned to you before, my mom was in radio for years.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes as well. You know, she was a musical producer and librarian. So I think I got a little bit of it in my genes. I hope I'm doing okay. I think I'm doing all right. I like the interaction with fans because I've found through my years in covering the Browns, the Guards, and the Cavs that, you know, I would always... you know, be approached by neighbors or people at the Westlake Rec or whatever, yeah, like that want to know the insight and what's going on with the teams. And so it's always been fun. So this is a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm sure you get this. The one thing that I think, okay, I appreciate that you enjoy what I do for a living.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't tell you the number of people, and, you know, I've worked like you in this thing for decades, right? Maybe we have a little insight into some things. Let's just, maybe we do.
We have access.
Maybe we know kind of what's going on.
Yeah.
I love it when people come up and say, Jeff, here's what's going on with the Guardians. This is the thing.
Yeah.
And I always just say, hey, thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I heard some Donovan. In fact, I heard some Donovan Mitchell rumors yesterday that I was like, wait a minute.
I think
I know a little bit. So, this has been a blast. The other thing I get a kick out of is when people come up and say, hey, Tom, you know, bring us a winner tonight. Like the only thing I would root for on game night was my lead. That's literally all I cared about. I just wanted to be able to write something concise and that would make my editor, Terry Taylor, God rest her soul, that would make her happy. That's all I cared about. It didn't matter who won or lost.
And that the initial piece is the piece that you post. So, that would be the other one, and we're not going,
You don't have to change it drastically after having it basically written with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
Give us rewrite.
Yeah. How can the Cavaliers come back in this series? We're going to dig into that as soon as we hear from Tom in Cleveland. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys. Wow,
hi, Tom.
That loss hurts so bad. It reminds me just what just happened to me. My lady just ghosted me. Oh, because I mentioned an old crush. It hurts that bad.
Oh.
But like the Cavs, they'll recover. I hope to recover too.
All right, Tom.
Hang in there, Tom.
Hang in there.
Okay, thank you.
All right. There you go.
It was, you know what, I'm sure everybody had kind of the same reaction last night.
Cavassier, anyone, while we go through that whole thing? Do the ladies man on this?
Tom, I feel for you there.
There
are more fish in the sea, Tom.
I thought you said it perfectly earlier, Jeff, when you said you didn't think the Cavs were going to lose until they lost.
Tom, I didn't. Yeah. All game long, I thought, all right, well, Indiana cut it to 4. Well, that's all right. Cavs got the ball. Give it to Donovan. He's going to go score.
The one thing I
didn't think they were going to lose.
I feel you. I was talking to Dan during one of the breaks about it, though. There was that juncture in the third quarter when it went from like 9 to 13 and back and forth, and I kept saying to my wife, you know what? The Cavs need to get this back to 20 again.
Yeah.
Because if this team is within shouting distance in the fourth quarter, this is going to be a fistfight.
They have a history of it.
And I tell you what, two plays that have stood out to me in the first two games were the final play of the third quarter in both games. And in both instances, the Pacers dropped a 3 essentially at the buzzer, right?
Yeah.
Those are those momentum type plays. And coaches talk about that all the time. It's that final minute, final 2 minutes of periods and quarters where you've got to be on your game. And if you're not, the other team can get the momentum and carry it forward. That's what's happened.
I think it's interesting that, you know, one good play by one really good player just has everybody sitting here. If that shot clanks off the back of the rim, you know, if it rattles and doesn't go, boy, do we have the Cavaliers were down 3 starters. Look what they did. They dominated the game and then hung on at the end. It's 1-1. We're going to Indiana, blah, 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 blah. It's one shot. I mean, there were a lot of things that went into it.
One rebound.
But it came down to one shot.
It did, one shot.
One tip, whatever.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I said, how do the Cavs win game 2? And I threw out 3 main thoughts. Number one was you couldn't have the guards dominate the shots. And I was assuming, and we did this with okay,
Mitchell and Jerome, you're saying, yeah.
Let's assume somebody's going to play.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, so you're going to, let's say Evan can go or whatever, whoever it was, don't have the guards dominate the shots. Well, you kind of had the guards dominate the shots because you ended up needing it. With Donovan Mitchell, 30 shots for the second straight game. So, okay, I understood that one. I said, you've got to close out on the Indiana shooters and can't give them the open looks they had in game 1. I thought the Cavs did that
much better.
For a good portion of the game.
Yeah.
Although, and you got to take a good look at this one to get this one. Cavs had a 17-point lead after the first quarter. Pacers had only 15 points in that first quarter. And then in the next 3 quarters scored 35, 34, and 36 points. Mm. The average 35 points a quarter over the final 3. That was not the defensive effort you needed for the entire game, but you sure had a great win in the first quarter, Tom, and that did set the tone for the entire game, and it's why I thought they were going to win the game.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jeff. I was on Indianapolis radio yesterday afternoon, and they said the same thing to me. Like, what do you see as the key – the key for
congratulations.
Do you know that joke? Do we have to explain that joke?
You got your own ding.
Yeah. Ding bat. What was I saying?
Sorry.
You're on Indianapolis radio.
Yeah. Give it to me again. And said, you know what, the Cavs need to be more assertive, more aggressive defensively. And I thought they were. I mean, obviously they needed.
I thought so too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, by necessity, they had to be. And they were. And I just felt like, I don't know. There were a couple moments that felt like the Cavs either rushed shots or they could have built on that lead. I tell you what, though, and we've talked about it earlier, the Pacers have an uncanny ability of putting together a couple of good possessions in a row and turning a 14-point deficit to 8 real quick, don't they? They hit threes. They know what they're doing. They've got a game plan.
And Tom, how many times did that happen last night? About 10 times? It seemed the Cavs are up by 14, they're up by 15, and then boom, boom. It's
back
a 7-point game. Yeah, and
hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that just showed Indiana's ability to take, you know, take more than a hit.
Yeah.
And just keep coming back.
And Spiro said it best earlier, I think. This team is really well balanced. They can all shoot. They can all pass. The other thing too, Jeff, you know, when you talk about defense, and I know this is part of the Pacers' MO, you know, they got behind the Cavs defense for a couple of very easy layups on just leak outs.
They get down the
floor.
They
do. If they give up a basket, boy, that ball is inbounded quickly and it is up the court and they're getting up a quick shot early in a possession.
I've always been impressed by the Pacers. I think they do a really nice job, and we've seen it so far. The other thing I said for a key for game two was Evan and Jarrett. Now, Evan didn't play, but I said they've got to be a tough matchup for Indiana. And I didn't think they were in game one.
Yeah.
Because even though Evan had a double-double and had over 20 points, took only 13 shots.
Right.
And Jarrett took only 7 shots in game one. And last night, Jarrett had it going, and he took only 9 shots.
Yeah.
And I good for Donovan. They had to have a huge effort out of him last night. But, man, find more than 9 shots for Jarrett. If Evan is able to play, get him 15 shots. I mean, take some of the heat off of Donovan.
Yeah, so we touched on that earlier. If you guys remember last year when Garland and Mobley went out for that long stretch, like – late December, January, right?
And what they went like, they won 12 games in a row or something?
Yeah, they went like 16-2 or whatever without both of them. Yeah, and it was because Bickerstaff used Allen as kind of a, you know, he would bring him up on high ball screens, right? And they would run the offense through him. They would give him the ball at the top of the key.
And let him
decide, right? I mean, it's kind of
a smart basketball player.
He is, and it's kind of like.
And skilled.
And he's not going to necessarily, you know, beat you off the dribble and go in, you know.
Or shoot threes.
Right. But he's going to make the right play.
Correct.
And I tell you what, and I love Jared Allen. I think everybody does. If you heard the way he talked.
One of my favorite guys.
My God. If you heard him talk post game last night, all he talked about was he wants to do what's best for the team and do whatever he can to help his teammates out. And I mean, you can't hear of a better role model or example for young kids to follow than somebody with that kind of mentality, right? But in terms of what Kenny can do with him, I think it's got to be an option, depending on, again, health going into Friday.
Well, does Kenny have on Friday?
Exactly.
You know, roster-wise.
And if he doesn't have those three guys again, then I think you got to be a little bit more creative, because we can't expect Donovan Mitchell to come up with another one of these kinds of games.
You know, Jared Allen, and let me go off the beaten path for a second. You remember when he signed his contract here and he signed a 5-year extension for $100 million and it was 20 a year. And when he did that, and now, you know, let's take us out of the real world where $20 million a year, are you kidding? For any of us, we're all giddy.
But he was a bargain.
He was a bargain.
Yeah.
And I remember when he signed it and I thought, you could have got a lot more money. And it was the same way I felt when Travis Hafner signed his extension with the Indians back in the day, because Travis got something just under, was in the upper 50s.
That's a good comp right there.
Yeah, it was in the upper 50s. And, you know, Travis is a buddy for all of us. Travis is a real regular guy. And Jared Allen is the same kind of guy.
I agree with you.
And I thought when Travis signed it, I thought, you could have got more, but I understand. And then Travis had the shoulder injury, and if he had not signed that contract, he never would have got that kind of a contract. After the shoulder injury, because he couldn't hit like he used to. And when Jarrett signed, I just thought, you're one of the sharpest guys in the NBA. You know, you just know he's a really smart guy.
Yeah.
And he thought, I'm sorry, $100 million right now without, I'll be good for life. Thank you. And I admire and appreciate guys who think that way, Tom.
And I think he's grown on us as a player as well, right? I think we see some, to your point, Jeff, I think we see that there's a little bit more even there in the bag, right?
Oh, yeah. He can do a lot of things.
Yeah, and I think now, you know, by necessity, because I'll be honest, I don't think we're going to see Evan Mobley in game three. I'd be shocked. He was having trouble walking yesterday. putting any kind of weight on that ankle at all. So,
and you said something to me earlier in the show, actually, I think it was in a commercial break, and you said ankle injuries like that aren't day to day. They're week to week usually.
I'm afraid so. So listen, again, you know, I think it's good that the Cavs took today off, recharge, rest, get some ice, try to figure things out. I'm not gonna put it past them to steal game three. I'm not either. Think they can do it.
And you've got a guy who can carry a team.
Right. And we're gonna really see the character of this team, aren't we, now? Yeah. I mean, this is where you're really tested. Yep. You're down in a hole, find a way.
How can they win it, folks? Not just game three. How can they win this series? And we just started to touch on it. I want to touch on it a little bit more. And would love to hear your thoughts. 216-474-0092. Tom Withers is in for Andy today. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Meredith helping us out. We're right here on The Fan.